Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to a golf announcers edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob Mackowitz. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, indeed. It is good, and it is very morning. We're doing this. This is like old school stuff, Matt, where you and I were working before dawn kind of thing.
Yep. It's 7:37 in the morning here on a Friday. It's funny for me. I'm up at the cottage, or girlfriend Amy's cottage. So it'll be neat to see the sun rising, and if it's a nice morning up here, up in the hinterland.
I'm trying to figure out, what does it mean that as soon as I'm done with this here, I'm going back to bed? Does it mean that I've won or that I've lost?
Ooh, the morning nap. Maybe the most luxurious of all the naps.
Nothing says I need this quite like going back to bed in the morning.
Yeah.
You know me and my historically tormented sleeps. I've been on a heater lately with bad sleep, so I think
I'm sorry.
People have real problems. But I think, Matt, after we wrap up, I'm going to put on a warm pair of socks and get a book that I only sort of like. Just read till I sleep.
Nice. The read nap. Always one of my favorites.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, the book nap is a great one. Book
nap, Matt, because I feel like that's a specialty of yours.
Oh, yeah. I love, I'm a huge fan of the read nap. The only one that might be better was the Simpsons nap, where if there was like a channel that had just Simpsons playing and you'd fall asleep to one moment, you'd wake up to something else. And that's how you could tell how long you slept by where the episode is.
That's true, actually. It's a good marker. It's like being so familiar with the forest that you know how to read the trees. You just always know where you are based on what Homer's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like in Twister when he grabs the dirt and drops it and it falls in the wind. He knows exactly where the tornado's coming from.
Oh, does he lick the dirt? I can't remember.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't lick it. He just crouches down, picks it up, and then lets it fall gracefully out of his hand as he reads the wind. And he immediately knows where the tornado's going to be. And he doesn't need all the fancy equipment that his nemesis uses and all those black trucks.
Don't you just wish that you could throw an iron at that moment and have it go through the screen and bonk that guy in the head?
Oh, God. I wish I could have been in that moment and been like, what are you doing? That can't. You don't know anything. All you've done is picked up dirt.
It's funny. Go look at the car. There's like all these computers and stuff. Like,
yeah. Wait a minute.
Stuff.
Hold on. Now we got to talk about this. Was he anti-science?
That's a good question. He was against science. Well, maybe you write AMC and tell him you want him to stop playing it because you feel oppressed by it.
Yeah, I feel that that Twister is really the anti-vax of all the movies.
I was going to say we should create a list of those, but I don't think we could. I think it's just too bizarre a category. Surprisingly anti-vaxxer movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we going to talk about sports or are we just going to take the nap now?
Well, Bob, I have 40 more minutes of Bill Paxton conversation and then maybe we'll get to sports after that.
Well, and you're AMC deprived now that the show's back to 2 hours.
Yeah, and there is so much going on in sports. Like, we wouldn't even have time.
I can't. Wait. Like, you can't talk about fruit. You can't talk about surprisingly good ways to make eggs. You know, there's so many important topics you can't cover.
I know. I did squeeze in a little bit of biscotti is overrated talk. So I got a little bit of that in the show yesterday.
Can we jump in back to that? Because I don't want to move past this. Biscotti is so overrated.
You know what it is? It just gets this, it's seen as some Euro cool breakfast thing. So it gets like a pass and no one wants to whip it because then you're ugly North American who doesn't get the lifestyle of the European. It's trash.
It's true. Now here's the one thing, the S cookie, the famous S shaped cookie. It's perfect for dipping. It's terrible on its own. It's kind of like eating communion wafer with a little bit of sugar on it. But
yeah,
it if you dip it into either milk or coffee, there's something about the way it retains the liquid that's really great. Mm-hmm. So it's actually not a good cookie, but it's an outstanding sponge.
But, you know, if that's the best you got is you're a sponge, I don't know. There's so many great cookies out there and different pastries you can have that, I'm sorry, biscotti, I don't need you in my life.
Do you find it weird that the sponge is an animal?
I do now. Yeah, absolutely. Like does the sponge...
About it, like if reincarnation is a thing, is it a treat to come back as a sponge because you're just so chill? Or is it a punishment to come back as a sponge because literally, like, how do sponges have fun?
Yeah, I know. Do they have a soul? What do they think about? Ugh. I mean, it could be worse. Like, I'd much rather come back as there's a lot of other animals that I think would suck to come back as. But if you had to pick one animal, what's your animal that you'd want to come back as?
Let's pin in this so we can do sports. But somewhere like it's 7:42 right now, at 8 o'clock. Yeah. Stop talking about whatever we're talking and go back to what animal would you be reincarnated as?
Done.
Okay, so 8 o'clock.
Done.
My phone's dead. Can you set an alarm?
Oh yeah, no, I got it. I got the bottom right corner. I got the old clock going here.
Okay.
So, what do you want to start with? Football, hockey, basketball. What's your pleasure, sir?
You pick. Pretend it's the show.
All right. Okay. Then I'm going to workshop my opening thought with you, if that's okay.
Of course, I love this.
If I'm the NFL, I don't start Patrick Mahomes.
Mm.
I keep him out, and here's why. The cynic in me, if you do that, it'll prove to all the talking heads that the NFL does care about player safety because, oh my God, they wouldn't let the best player in football play in the second biggest weekend. So you get to use Patrick Mahomes as a human meat shield against morality, and you can point to, oh, see, we care about the players. But second, the NFL's in such a good place. The Chiefs winning is actually the least interesting thing that could happen this weekend.
Okay, so I'm going to rebut this on a variety of levels, but let's go back to... So if he clears, then there's no question. You put him back, right? Now think about...
Nope, this is the cynic in me. Nope.
Okay, but what if he clears and he doesn't get hurt? Win or lose, you can make the case then that your concussion protocols work, and therefore you are a caring company because you have a system that keeps the players safe. They took him out of a game. That was very important. Chad Henne wound up, you know, I guess he kind of won it in a way. And so the system works. The protocol did not allow him to go back in the field in the middle of the third biggest weekend of the year. And when he was proven to be healthy, he was allowed to continue on. So maybe the cynic in you needs to be replaced by the optimist that says, if it works, it makes the NFL look great.
Oh, yeah, I know. You're absolutely right. But I'm going the cynic route, going, Roger Goodell tells whoever, hey, even if he's allowed, you're going to say he barely missed it. We're going to look like heroes because we are sacrificing ratings and glory for player safety.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
How valuable to the NFL would you say Aaron Rodgers is as an asset? To the NFL, not the Packers, to the NFL.
Incredibly high.
What if Patrick Mahomes could be the next Aaron Rodgers? I would say, what if he's the next Brady? But he's not. But he's kind of like Aaron Rodgers in the sense that he can move and he's creative. He's not really a Brady quarterback, but he does feel like he could be an Aaron Rodgers quarterback. I mean, isn't it more valuable to have him win another trophy? Like, think about Rodgers right now. The only reason we don't talk about Rodgers even more than we do, one, he plays in Green Bay, but two, he hasn't had the playoff success that Brady has had. Fair to say? We all acknowledge the talent. We all acknowledge the talent is comparable, but if he had even Ben Roethlisberger's success in the postseason, we'd be talking about Aaron Rodgers as the GOAT during his career, way we do about Brady.
Yes, he'd be more in the conversation. Absolutely.
So don't you want that for Mahomes if you're the NFL? Like, don't you want him to get to 37 years old with a couple titles already so that you don't have to hoping wins one on the way out? The NFL is so American. Like, it's all about how much winning did you do?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think that's all sports, but we'll stick with this.
We talk about Connor as the best player in the game, and he's never even made a cup final.
Yeah, we talk about he's the best in the game as an active player, but you know, no. If he continues without winning, he's not going to be considered had a better career than, say, Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, that's true. That's a whole other argument. Maybe I shouldn't derail it. Let's get back to Mahomes. I think it's the NFL if he wins.
Well, here's
here's
the thing, Bob. Here's the thing. It's the most least interesting thing if Kansas City wins the Super Bowl, because it's been a sense of inevitability all year that they're going to win the Super Bowl. And don't get me wrong, aesthetically, it would be a joy, but think of the three other options. I think it's more interesting if Brady wins one in Tampa without New England. I think Aaron Rodgers, if he wins a second one, that's more interesting. And also, he's older, so there's a sense of you got to get it done now. And then finally, if Buffalo wins, well, suddenly Josh Allen becomes a bigger star. Of those four options, I think Kansas City winning is the least interesting, even though, of course, it still is interesting.
So are you talking about interesting to the football fan or interesting to the casual fan?
Both.
I don't think both. That's the thing.
I think both.
Most casual fans, like let's say Josh Allen, makes it to a Super Bowl and doesn't win. The casual fan will not be any more invested in Josh Allen than they are in Lamar Jackson, which is some, but not a ton. Like, you have to win the Super Bowl. So I guess my point is Mahomes feels like, I think you have to, like, this is like those moments in blackjack where, you know, you can, you pull up two sevens and you got to split them. You know what I mean? Like, there's an opportunity here for gain. You want Mahomes to win because you want him to have three or four Super Bowls, and you want to feel like the legacy continues. Let me give you an example. I'm going to take this. Let me explain this in Star Wars. You want Mahomes to become Rey, a hero that's worth following into the next chapter. You don't want Mahomes to become Finn, who gets buried and feels like he's going to be interesting, but then ultimately has no storylines. In order for the success of the franchise, you need someone to take over from Luke. You need the Padawan to succeed. Just as it went from Obi-Wan to Luke, from Luke to Rey, and from Rey into the future, Mahomes, be Rey Skywalker.
It's a great analogy. I think he's pretty much there. Here's my pushback. One, what I'm talking about is, this is about the scenario of any of these four teams winning the Super Bowl. But as you're with this example, I think Mahomes becomes more interesting. I think Kansas City is a more fascinating storyline if somehow they fail this year, because then it's the clearly best team that somehow didn't get it done. And the following year, I think it makes them more compelling.
Well, I think that's kind of true, but I don't know that they've won enough for that to be. It's not like they're the Golden State Warriors. When Golden State lost to the Raptors, I mean, everybody's kind of waiting for them to recalibrate. Unfortunately, with Klay out, it didn't happen. But think about how much interest there was going into this year with Klay, Steph, James Wiseman, Wiggins, you know, all of that. Like, could they climb back up to the top of the mountain? I don't think that's the Kansas City narrative in any way, where like they're knocked down, you're waiting for them to get back up because they haven't been up long enough. I think the key point here that you and I maybe don't agree on is, and maybe because this is, I'm more of a casual fan of the NFL than you are, and I don't follow the Chiefs the way you do, is you see them as dominant, where I see them as having been pretty successful. So I don't think the narrative there yet. I don't think the narrative is for me where you think it is for you.
Yeah. Oh, no. Then, yeah, clearly I think of them as more dominant. Then how about, well, let's make this very simple. There are four teams that could win the Super Bowl. Of those four, if you want to rank them for me, what's the most interesting conclusion of those four teams, like from most to least?
Now, define interesting a little bit for me. Do you mean for like the sports world or within the NFL? Because I don't think they're the same.
Maybe this is another thing we disagree on. I think this is the same.
Okay, so let's assume they're the same then. I would say Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Buffalo.
Okay, so the only ones we switch around is Buffalo. Like you have Buffalo as fourth, and I have Kansas City at four.
I think if Buffalo won, it would be the greatest thing that ever happened to Buffalo fans, but probably most of the league wouldn't care that much. I think it would be like when the
Raptors. I think you're discount.
I think it's like when the Raptors won the title. Like locally, it is the craziest story of the sad sack franchise that's finally picked itself up off the tarmac. But for the rest of the league, they see it as kind of an anomaly. People, you know, it's so much like for the average NBA fan, like the idea of a dominant, you know, LA team or the resurgence of, you know, Boston, like all of these narratives are so much more meaningful than like the Raptors are just like an anomaly. And I think that's what Buffalo would be too.
The fan base there is a huge star in American sports. The Bills fan, the Bills mafia, that in itself has become a big storyline. Like that's a story that now makes Good Morning America. And then the other side is if Josh Allen wins, now you've got another guy 25 and under winning a Super Bowl, big, physical, and can give two. And another thing people love is he is a two double middle fingers to everyone in the media who didn't think he was going to make it. And if there's one thing sports fans love, it's when the media is loud wrong.
Okay, so let's say, what's a bigger story to you? The Buffalo Bills fan base or Tom Brady?
Actually, it's funny. At this point, it's pretty close just because there's nothing new Tom Brady could do. Like, unless he actually flies, you know, like literally gift of flight is inside of him. That's the only way he could do anything interesting or compelling.
Wouldn't this be his Peyton Manning? Is he at the point now? He's not quite at Peyton Manning, but it would be a bit like Peyton's second title if he wins this year. Like, would it just feel like the old guy who was good enough not to get in the way of the better players?
Peyton Manning was, you might forget how so horrible. At least Tom Brady threw for 4,000 yards and was great against Washington.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. No. And I kind of said that, but it's funny how even if he won, which would be such an incredible feat of athleticism to be at this age and to make it to a Super Bowl and win it is just like astonishing. But I think we would have to acknowledge that as opposed to the other six titles, this is one where he relied on everybody else as opposed to pulling them over the finish line.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Which is why, you know, I think a Tampa win is more interesting than the Kansas City one. But my bigger point here is that the best player, the most exciting team is Kansas City. Yet the NFL right now is in a spot where I think the other three teams, them winning a Super Bowl is a more compelling storyline.
And this is where you and I always disagree, because you're such a fan of the game that you believe in the integrity of these sort of these storylines that are based on intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sign of a true fan is, you know, like the way I dissect the NFL is so different than the NBA or the NHL, you know?
Yeah.
Where I follow it much more closely. And so, you know, I'm watching Philly games, you know, like Flyers games just to see, like, are they finally going to make good on, you know, like to me, the NFL is like the best team has to be good. Why would I care about anybody else? Which is the way most people watch sports.
Yeah. Yeah. The more casual. Absolutely.
You're a real NFL fan. And I've always said for me, it's the fourth of four leagues and I enjoy the game and I try to have some reasonable opinions about it, but I have no illusions. When I watch a football game, I don't understand the action. It's somewhere between hockey and soccer for me in terms of my ability to follow the action.
By the way, on CP24 right now,
yeah,
they're doing 15-minute easy prepare meals for busy parents.
Oh my God.
And I feel this is such like it's such horseshit that there's no parent that actually can prepare a full satisfying meal in 15 minutes.
It's so obnoxious. You know what? Sandra and I have given up on raising Charlotte.
Yeah, she's raising you.
Yeah. No, basically, we just gave her like the TV remote and key. Oh, man. It's just the 15-minute meal is such an insult. You're totally right.
Like, I'm not a parent, and even I'm watching this going, get out of here.
You know what's the 15-minute meal? You get a piece of toast, you get a Kraft slice, you put it in the toaster oven.
Yeah.
Yeah. It comes out and you tell the kid, hey, kid, we got pizza.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and by the way, as a kid, nothing but like just get an English muffin, some spaghetti sauce, and some cheese. Boom, we're in Italy, people.
Honestly, the we've deprived our kids of the joy of the ridiculous meal. These 15-minute meals. I bet they're even healthy.
Bob, this is like a vegetable dumpling soup. That's going on here.
Honestly, when I was a kid,
very aspirational.
I can't tell you how many days for breakfast I would open up the fridge door, pull the ready whip off of the side handle, open my mouth, create a tower of whipped cream in my mouth, and then run out with a baseball glove.
Well, you got all the four major food groups right there.
Baseball. Baseball and whipped cream.
Yep.
Oh, man. It's 7:58. Do you want to just get into the topic now?
Turtle.
Okay, interesting. Please explain.
Yeah. Well, one, because they have a longer life expectancy than humans, so I get to live a long time. Nope. It's not like, you know, it's like some of these animals where you're born, you reproduce, and then you get eaten by the mother, you know, so I'm not that. And I get to be in water, so I get to live long and get to hang out, you know, in lakes and stuff, you know, so I'm going turtle.
The lazy part of me says lion, because somebody else... Yeah. The food for you and yet presents it to you and then you hand it back to them when you're done with it.
Yeah.
It's like the lion is the most overrated animal in the entire animal kingdom. The lioness is the most underrated. Did you know that lionesses, they hunt in packs, which is very rare for big cats, but they actually use teamwork to corner their prey. Lionesses are amazing. They're so cool. And then the lazy lion just finds like a shady tree and lies there and waits for someone to present an antelope to him.
Oh yeah. And then the other time they move is either is usually just to have sex. It's like they do a big stretch and yawn and go, all right, it's reproducing time. And then maybe I'll fight another dude because I want that lioness. And then after that, it's back to the shade.
And then they're aggressive and they fight everybody. Like they're the deadbeat dads of the animal world. I would never want to, I would want to come back as a lioness though, because I think, as a Canadian, I like the idea of being the scrappy underdog that has a sense of pride in themselves that they're actually the good ones out there. Mm-hmm. I think I would probably want to be, I kind of want to be an octopus. So I would understand what the hell I am. Octopus is odd. It's kind of like being an octopus is like being the odd teenager in a John Hughes movie.
Are you Ducky?
Yeah. You're like the Ducky of animals, right? Like you're interesting and charming and nobody really gets you, but in the end, everybody respects you on your own terms, which is kind of like a good life goal. Yeah. I'd say.
Yeah.
As an octopus. Plus, you know, you can use tools. You can figure out how to open jars. Nobody knows how you do it. You can shoot ink, which is amazing. Like, how would you like to be able to get out of bad conversations by shooting ink and running out the door?
Usually, you know, I just make a bad joke and fart, but I like your way more.
Well, that's what they're doing, basically.
Yeah. Did you see the doc? Have you seen the doc on the guy who spends all his time with octopus?
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it. I've also heard
about it. It's really good.
Yeah, I've heard it's amazing. Octopuses can manipulate light so that they can't be seen. And the way that they manipulate light actually creates an optical illusion inside the human brain or inside the mammalian brain or animal brain. And that's pretty cool because and deep down, nobody really knows if they're aliens or not. And I kind of feel that way about us, too. So, octopus.
It's a great one. And watching that doc, I actually felt guilty for a little while, just how much I enjoy eating octopus.
It's so delicious.
It really is.
You know, it's like one of the great, I don't know why people love squid so much. Don't love octopus. Like if you don't like either, I get that, but it's like calamari, you know, if they called calamari squid rings, do you think people would like it less? I do.
Yes. Way less.
See, the problem with octopus is you call it octopus.
It's intimidating.
You know, people are freaked out by it because it's a little odd looking. It's a kind of a, That's the other thing I like about the octopus, because much like myself in this life, to be a little odd looking and yet still garner respect, that's a feat.
That is. Yeah. You know, Bob, I think both of our answers pretty much encapsulates who we are. I just want to live a long time and be near water.
And I want to be loved, but misunderstood.
Yes.
to revel in my own my own confusing nature.
Speaking of confusing, before we get into the Maple Leafs,
great.
Actually, segue. I don't know. Actually, no. This is a horrible segue because it's not a bit confusing at all. I don't even know why I said that. I'm just reacting to what's on CP24. How much shit talk do you think Trudeau and Biden are going to do about Trump? Like, they're meeting today for the first time. How much just, like, catty ass shit talking are they going to be doing? Like, this is like grade 7.
Okay, so this is what I think is going to happen. It could go one of two ways. It could either be that, where it's just a total fucking slam fest. Or there are times when sometimes Sandra and I are so tired from parenting that we'll just sit on the couch and we won't talk. We might look at each other a little, but mostly we just stare ahead into the distance. It could go one of two ways. It could either be they complain or they're just too exhausted.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, just that stunned silence of surrender. Or it's, can you believe his hair?
They're on one of these fancy couches that isn't nearly comfortable enough but looks good. And they just sit there and they stare into the distance for 20 minutes. And then at the end of it, they look at each other and just go, "We good? Yeah, we're good." And then they go their different ways.
They get up, they giggle at the latest Bernie Sanders meme, and they go their own way.
Man, it's the best thing that could have happened to that guy, Bernie Sanders. Or as my parents call him, Bernie Sandwich.
That's a better name.
Yeah, somebody on CNN once upon a time referred to him as Bernie Sandwich, and that just stuck in the Mackowitz household. the inauguration, did you cry? I cried.
No, I didn't. I thought it was, it was great. But no, I didn't get that emotional. How was it for you?
Really emotional. And I didn't expect it, to tell you the truth. Like, so much has happened. I thought it was going to be like the couch stare with Biden and Trudeau, where you're just exhausted and you're glad it's all over. But I was really inspired by certain things, you know. Just, I'm not a cynic by nature. I'm a bit of an idealist. And I think by pursuing ideals, like, I do believe in such a thing as the better angels of our nature. I think that we can either gravitate towards our weaker sides or we can gravitate to our stronger sides. And it's easier to go weaker. There's less resistance. So sometimes you need ideology or just to believe in the value of good things in order to pull yourself up. Sometimes going forward is a matter of willpower and belief that it is the right thing to do. And I kind of felt that, you know, and I'm predisposed to feel that way. I look for those kinds of things and I try to harness them. I don't particularly love Biden as a candidate, but I think that he's not a Nazi. So that's good.
That's an upgrade.
You know, people think that I'm against the conservatives. And ideologically, there are a lot of things I don't agree with in terms of how to spend a dollar. But I think my, you know, and people are like, "Oh, you're an apologist for Trudeau." And it's like, I don't think Trudeau, I think Trudeau's bad at a lot of stuff, but I think he's not a Nazi. I'd like the conservatives to be able to say that.
Well, I've always liked you, your expression was, you know, that conservatives, they just have a different way of trying to solve a problem. Yeah. You know, I'm sure I bungled your expression, but I always like that.
Yeah, it's like, I got a dollar, you got a dollar. How do you think you should spend it?
Yeah,
that to me is the essence of the problem. I don't, you know, we have a charter of rights. I don't need anybody to tell me how people should be treated. I think we collectively agreed this a long time ago. They should be treated equally. Let's live up to it. You know, that part shouldn't be hard to figure out. The hard part is, okay, like, the world's constantly changing. Everybody has a different set of needs and a different set of goals, what they want out of their personal lives. You know, how do we do it collectively? That's bloody hard.
It is.
You know, I can't even, Sandra and I will have 10 bucks at the sandwich bar. We can't agree what to get.
Get the Bernie.
Get the Bernie. I want to ask you about the Leafs because I have questions, and I'm really interested to hear your take. And then,
Go.
Are they enjoyable this year?
Well, coming off the last game, no, because I can't believe a game against Edmonton was as boring as it was. You know, the Winnipeg game was certainly enjoyable. The Montreal, the first game was. I think it's TBA on are they enjoyable. They're not as enjoyable yet as I expected.
I think they're a bit like the Biden administration. And here's what I mean by that. So they're on a pace. If this was a regular season, they would be on pace to get 98 points and just make the playoffs in an average year, which is not particularly great. But they're not a tire fire. And so far this year, I think they've been fairly consistent at things that we've asked them to be consistent at. They're a little duller than we expect. And you would think, God, with all that firepower, shouldn't you be more interesting? But with the Leafs, aren't we a little tired of them being interesting? Don't we want them to be? Like, isn't this the bring the temperature down year for the Leafs? Like, where there's almost a relief that we don't have to panic about them. They're good. They're good. And if they get in the playoffs and they figure out they could get on a nice roll and do some damage. But I'm kind of tired of worrying about them. Like, just go out there, be consistent. Hopefully you'll get the bounces, make the playoffs. Let's see what happens. I don't need
You know what, Bob, and that you've nailed it. Like, that is going to be the question of the year for this team. Everyone was upset. Like, oh my God, that game was so boring against Edmonton. But on the other side, Connor McDavid didn't do anything. Drysdale really didn't do much. Like, they held this very powerful offensive team in check, which is something we always wanted. And then when it happened, we're like, hey, where's all the offense? And even Austin Matthews says we were a little too safe and we don't want, you know, so do you want safe and boring and defensively responsible? Yes, I want that, but I want all the goals as well. It's like, well, you can't have all of it.
So here's what we learned. Everybody is stupid. We don't want them to be careless with the puck. We don't want them to be too exciting. We don't want them to be frivolous with the quote unquote right way to play hockey. When they try to bring it down and play a tight, controlled game and they don't win, we're like, they stink. This is boring. Where's my other team? Then they play like the other team. We're like, God, can't these guys get out of their own asses and like just play hockey the way it's supposed to be played? And here's what people really want. Can't you be everything?
Yeah.
Can't you just,
we're just greedy.
I want you to do all the time? I would take a boring Leafs team this year over an erratic one with tons of talent.
Mm-hmm. I would as well. It'd be hypocritical of me to, you know, because I'll whip them when they look like a defensive tire fire out there. And the boring answer is I want it just in that middle. You know, where there's just enough offense, but still being defensively responsible. That's like saying, I don't like waiting in line, and I like it when it's 21 degrees. Yeah, no bleep. We're all like that. Right. But, you know,
so I want everything. I want to be entertained. I want to feel like this is structured. I want it to be exciting. I want it to be boring. Here's what I think about the Leafs in a nutshell. I have only one concern, and his name is Fred Anderson.
Yep.
That is my one. I think everything else will sort itself out. I don't think they have enough talent on the bottom six. Okay, but they're top heavy. Guess what? That's who these guys are. I'm tired of worrying about it. It's what it is. Now let's see how far they can go with that. But I feel better about their prospects as a top heavy team than I do in their. I don't feel so good about their prospects as a team with a streaky, sometimes bad goalie.
You're absolutely right. In the end, everything comes down to, do they have the better goalie in the whatever playoff series they're in? It all comes down to that. Yeah. And everything else, I don't know. It's funny. Like, I feel more comfortable with the defense. I'm more nervous about the forwards. But yeah, then in the end, everything just comes back to Freddie Anderson.
You know, I think, like, let the smart fans worry about whether Ilya Mikheyev is really good or not. I don't know. I like Zach Hyman. I'm happy to like Zach Hyman. I think Ilya Mikheyev's overrated. He obviously doesn't suck. I don't think he's going to score 20 goals again. He's a guy. You know, let the smart fans worry about the details of, you know, his game. You know, we all know that the real money is made in how the top four do. Top four basically look great. Okay, I feel pretty good about that. TJ Brody was brought in to do what he does. Muzzin has settled into being a really stable guy night after night. Just basically carbon copy of the game the night before. Smart, safe decisions help your team win. Travis Dermott, still trying to figure it out. Justin Hall settled into the role really nicely. Like, there's just a lot of things that feel like they're settling. This is who they are. We just don't know that about Freddie. We still don't know who Freddie is. And maybe we do. And yep. That's the problem.
Oh yeah, that's you're right. Is that we do know. And by the way, you're right about Mikheyev. Mikheyev is just this fun thing that we want to hope is really good, but in the end, he's probably just, you know, he's depth forward, and that's okay. But,
he's just a guy. Know,
it's just a guy, and he's just a guy who can look good. You know, sometimes if he's playing with Marner and Nylander, you know, you play with those guys, you should look good.
You know, he's got a great nickname and a good story, and uh-huh. I have nothing against him. But I just can't watch the game and think to myself, our season falls on the shoulders of Ilya Mikheyev. I think Kerfoot is kind of the player that's sort of in the middle of that. He doesn't have the impact of a Matthews, and he's more important than a Mikheyev. Like, Kerfoot has to have a good year. And I don't think anybody can really decide what does that even mean. Like, have we decided that we don't need him to score, we just need him to anchor a third line that doesn't give up goals?
Yeah, just don't get you just don't want to get dummied when he's on the ice. You just don't want that line getting caved in.
You know, there are menu items, like, I've never run a kitchen, but I've always thought that there are menu items that are probably like the chicken wings, where, you know, they're innings eaters. You just need them to be good enough so that people get them, they don't ruin anything. Nobody's excited talking about it when they leave, but they didn't have a bad meal. Like, I think life is filled with stuff like this where it just needs to be good enough that it doesn't set you back.
Yes.
You know, TV or movies or stuff that we stream, like, it doesn't need to be great. It just doesn't need to, it needs to not suck. Like, Kerfoot is like that guy who just, Kerfoot is the human B plus.
Yeah, he's just, you know, he's a nice, what you just want is a nice, simple meal, you know, that does it. You don't choke on it.
Yeah. You know, I don't need to remember it. I don't want it to be memorable either way. I don't want to remember it as a great meal. I don't want to remember it as a bad meal. It's just a Tuesday night with dinner.
Perfect. By the way, I just got a text. I'm doing a radio hit for the morning show in like 4.5 minutes.
Oh, so you should go. We should wrap this up.
I thought it was going to be at 8:30, and apparently it's at 8:20.
Get on the line and do both at the same time.
Yeah, but see, that radio hit's going to be it's going to be 15 minutes. We're going to do the Wheel of Sports Topics, and you know what I am, Bob? I'm a good innings eater. You know, you could throw me on, bam, you can go a heavy segment with me.
Honestly, like, I'm so amazed by your ability to filibuster.
Oh yeah. It's all I have.
Okay, well, you know what? Why don't we bonk it and then pick up again early week?
Yeah, well, first, just I should mention our sponsor is my lawyer, Jeff Pollock. If you need legal representation, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com, 416-777-0088, 416-777-0088. But in 90 I don't know if you could talk about George Springer and give in 90 seconds or less thoughts about the Jays' newest center fielder.
You know, it's so funny how I was so excited that we got Springer, and I think he's such an important add to a team. And then I got disappointed about Brantley, and it's funny how selfish we get it. I thought
greedy, like the Leafs.
Yeah, it's exactly it. Like, I thought we were going to have more than I thought we were going to have, and I got excited about it, and made me feel disappointed about the big win.
You know, hey, the good thing is, though, is, like, I'm the biggest cynic when it comes to the Blue Jays and Rogers and all of that, but they've gone out now 2 years in a row and spent, you know, a lot of money on a player, and hopefully we're past the Ricciardi days where Detroit, Seattle, and even Minnesota would spend more money than the Blue Jays.
They were ready to spend. They did spend. You have to spend it on someone who's willing to come here, and they obviously made a huge pitch to get this guy. I think he's exactly who they need right now. And I'm really excited for the season to start. And in the end, like, now is the put up, shut up year for Vladdy. He's got protection around him in the lineup, and he's been in the league for a minute. So he needs to have an all-star year, or we're going to start having way more conversations about him.
100%. The pressure is off of him after you bring in Springer. He can be the third most important bat. And you're absolutely right, because 2 years ago, all eyes were on him. Now he's getting a sideways glance every now and then.
You don't want him to be Brett Laurie, where everybody's talking about him, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, maybe he's not that great. I don't think he will be. I think in some ways that's a silly analogy, because nobody thought Laurie was going to be a Hall of Famer. This poor kid has expectations. Anyway, you got to run. Point is, Jays look fun. Can't wait.
Yep. All right, Bob, will you go be like an octopus, squirt that black ink, and zip out of here.
And you be like a turtle. You make your way over to the phone and stay on the phone for 150 years.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.